This is Kelly Blewett. I'm joined tonight by poet and teacher John Drury. He is the author of 4 books of poetry, winner of a Pushcart Prize, and a professor of English at the University of Cincinnati. We're here to discuss his recent poetry collection, Sea Level Rising, which was published in 2015 by Able Muse Books. Of this book, his colleague Jim Cummins writes, quote, "John Philip Drury is a Marylander. It makes all the difference. Land and sea interpenetrate here, loom up, fall away, transmuting one into the other. In impermanence, through our art, we survive," end quote. Welcome, John.
Thanks, Kelly.
I want to begin with a poem that demonstrates some of the aspects of the collection Jim Cummins described, and that poem is titled Falling in Love at the YMCA Pool. And we had a chance to talk just before the interview.
Yes.
You said it's actually the Blue Ash.
Yes, it is.
Pool.
Yeah, the outdoor pool.
The Blue Ash outdoor pool that we're about to hear about. Is there anything else that we ought to know before you read us the poem?
No, not really. I'll just go ahead and read the poem. Falling in Love at the YMCA Pool. Water's a quick conductor, the way a storm seeks out a bather, swimming laps, and strikes like Zeus. A surge, electric in its force, connects from me to you, twin shocks in this blue pool. Our toes can feel the cracks along the slanting, nubby, concrete bottom as kids splash by, jeering at friends who can't jog through packed liquid. Crisscrossed ripples, rumpled as bedsheets, push below your breasts, wetting the cups, and lap on my chest hairs. We talk of ordinary things and look straight in each other's eyes, yours gray, mine hazel, standing an arm's length apart, feeling the wind rise, the water touching us everywhere, all over in the slow dance's groove.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So the poem is very short and only 4 sentences long, and maybe we should mention that as you see it in print, the lines are indented so they look almost like a lapping wave. Each stanza is 3 lines, and each line moves in an indent, so the margin seems to almost undulate.
Yes, that's good. And also, it's meant to be aural, too. Each line is 1 beat shorter. It goes from 5 to 4 to 3, 5 to 4 to 3. Pentameter, tetrameter, trimeter, to use the poetry terms.
So it does feel like a sort of rocking motion is what you...
Yes, that's part of the idea.
And I love the idea that we're surrounded by scenes that could become poetry.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, flirting in a pool.
Exactly. Anything. The most ordinary things can become the most extraordinary, vivid poems that a reader can get something from.
I think there's something about the precise language that's used, too, that takes something every day but makes it almost a little bit strange or removed.
And yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about how you wrote the poem and what you were kind of seeking to accomplish in it?
Sure. Of course, you don't know when you start out. It might be an image, a detail, something or other. But I wrote the poem for LaWanda Walters, who's also a poet. Her book, Light is the Odalisque, came out last year from Press 53. We're married now.
Oh.
But this poem describes a moment when our friendship was starting to undergo a transformation. So I wanted to partly recapture that and get a sense of the sensory excitement and sort of the unspoken tensions and dawning understandings.
Well, and it's neat how the water, which shows up in so many of the poems, becomes a sort of conduit. You know, as you said, a quick conductor.
Yes, thank you. Yes, it's interesting. You picked 1 poem each from the book's 3 sections, and they all have titles that come from passages in different poems. And the opening section is all water poems, and they're all about flux. And the title of the section is The Law That Nothing's Permanent But Change.
And it really gets at that shift that was happening in this poem.
Yes, exactly. And it's a shift in emotions, too, that's at work.
So another poem that we thought that would be fun to share is really about paying attention to language. It's rather abstract, I suppose, but it, to me, captured something quite precise, and it's titled Language Lesson. I don't know if there's anything you want to share before reading the poem.
Sure. The poem was originally titled To Anyone Who Sings and Dances the Summer Long, alluding to Aesop's fable about the ant and the grasshopper, which are mentioned later on. Peter Stitt, the editor at Gettysburg Review, suggested the current title when he accepted the poem. And I'm always glad and grateful for that kind of help. A couple of notes might be useful. I mentioned Li Bai, an 8th century Chinese poet of the Tang Dynasty. Legend has it that he died while drunk in a boat on a river, trying to embrace the moon's reflection. And when I mention Joyce, I'm talking about James Joyce, the author of Ulysses. So here's the poem, Language Lesson. Rigor and consequences vie for the title of world's ugliest word, bullying the senses that take their daily vacations in the hammock of late afternoon. Life's hard enough without a poke in the stomach, meaning reduce, or sit up straight, or see, or now you've done it. Done what? Been loose instead of tight? Or tight in the sense of drunk? Li Bai drowning in moonlight on the river? Who wouldn't shrink from pettiness, the rule of rules, dictatorship of the mean and merciless? Grasshoppers, Joyce's grace hopers, dance a quickening reel instead of plodding to the same death that ants cannot forestall. Go out rigid, pleading guilty? No, go out joyous, full.
Thank you.
No, you're welcome.
I particularly love the line about bullying the senses that take their daily vacation in the hammock of late afternoon.
Thank you.
I think that was the first line of the book where I just went, wow. And I should say, I opened it. I like when I read poetry collections to sort of dip in.
I like that, too. And that's, again, it's the rigorous approach is to read it start to finish. I think the poetry approach is to jump around. Some poets even read things in reverse. But the fact that you can jump around is one of the pleasures and catch up, you know, as you go along.
So let's hear one more. I think the last poem we've selected is called In the Green Room with Robert Lowell. Is there anything we should know before you share it with us?
Well, Robert Lowell came for a reading at my university. He was one of my hero poets, and I was there to make sure he didn't wander off. So In the Green Room with Robert Lowell. I sat alone with him before the reading, shy, awed by this big man who opened up a black spring binder, probably the draft of Day by Day, and marked and cut and scratched with a red ballpoint pen on typed-up sheets. My teacher had appointed me to guard him, just in case he had a mental breakdown and tried to wander off. But he kept writing, or rewriting, on pages that looked bloody with crossing out and cramped, inserted words. I didn't say a thing, but kept on watching. So I was startled, sitting at a distance, when suddenly he looked up, smiled, and said, "That's a nice green corduroy jacket."
So my last question to you is, do you still have the jacket?
I have the jacket, and there it is on that chair.
Oh, wonderful.
My mother bought it for me when we were in Venice several decades ago.
John, thank you so much for coming.
It's been a pleasure.
I've been talking to professor and poet John Drury about his collection, Sea Level Rising, published in 2015 by Able Muse Press. More information on this title can be found at our website, wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. This is Kelly Blewett.